Up next, a conversation about overcoming inequality in the workplace for women in general, but specifically for women of color. KGNU's Rosana Longo spoke with Dr. Sabrina Valponi.
Dr. Sabrina Valponi is an assistant professor at the Leeds School of Business of the University of Colorado at Boulder. She holds a PhD in human resource management and a master's degree in IO psychology. Her research focuses on the lived experience of employees within workplaces, especially on the topics of employee diversity and identity management to understand the barriers that keep social identities marginalized.
With my research, with my teaching, what I do every day for work is I get to really do research on the lived experiences of employees within workplaces. And I like to focus my research on the specific topics of diversity management and also identity management. And so what that means is really looking at organizations and how they manage the diversity that is within their workforce. And that includes really digging into what barriers exist with policies, procedures, things like that, that what can organizations do to eliminate those barriers so that employees, all employees, but traditionally, you know, underrepresented employees or employees who might have social identities that have been stigmatized or marginalized, how can they experience less barriers in the workforce, and how can organizations be a part of that conversation and that solution?
Dr. Valponi talked about the solutions to the long-standing issues of inequality in the workplace for women and how this is a story that has not changed much in recent years.
Issue I would like to talk about are what are the long-standing issues of inequality in the workplace for women? And so what we see is not really a story that has changed a lot in recent years, recent decades. And so I'll highlight the idea just to give us a foundation for our conversation that there are multiple barriers that women face in the workplace that take a lot of cognitive energy, emotional energy, just a lot of energy to navigate, to overcome. We know that things like structural sexism, structural racism, which also, of course, impacts women, women of color specifically, you know, they lead to policies, procedures that just present multiple barriers for women to overcome in the workplace. And so what we're finding now is situations where women are faced with really trying to navigate their work lives, not only to overcome barriers that within the workplace, like the gender pay gap, but we're also seeing that these kind of bad policies and procedures that organizations that are so commonplace in organizations, what we see is that it's also impacting what happens outside of the workplace as well, around childcare, around elder care, things like that, that come back and boomerang and impact women in the workforce in negative ways when they can't find childcare or they need to leave work early because the family expects women to really shoulder the burden of things like childcare and elder care.
Although these issues are not new, says Dr. Valponi, conditions have only gotten worse with COVID.
Again, none of these conversations are new. The barriers that women face that really highlight inequality for women in the workplace. And what we've seen is that over the last year, 18 months, is that these inequalities have really been amplified and through the COVID-19 pandemic. Is how COVID has exacerbated this situation, these inequalities in the workplace for women. And so there's a number of ways this has happened. Women facing a number of barriers, structural and otherwise, in the workplace, how those have been amplified is that we see the data show that for women, the top 10 or occupations with the largest shares of women, and this particularly speaks to the lived experiences right now of women of color, which is important to highlight and look at the data for as well. You know, the percentage of workers in, you know, manicurist, pedicurist, maids, housekeeping, home health aides, nursing assistants, medical assistants. These are the occupations with the largest percentages of women of color. And if we really think about what's happened in the last year, we know that those occupations and those jobs have changed the most. And so what we see is that for a lot of those occupations, women of color have lost their job or significantly lost hours or lost career status when they have been out of work for months or maybe still are. And then what we see in the other half of those jobs, those jobs like health aides, nursing assistants, medical assistants, is that they are so needed in the healthcare industry that they experienced job changes that really centered them to really experience some significant consequences like burnout because they were so overworked within the medical field. But I really want to speak to the idea that, and this is not only for women, not only for women of color, but, you know, just those frontline workers, particularly in the medical field, individuals really were on the front lines in a way that it was more dangerous for women and women of color who disproportionately have these jobs as medical assistants and nursing assistants and health aides because so many of the jobs that they had were frontline jobs. And so we have kind of this dual experience of women working through the pandemic or unfortunately losing jobs or having hours significantly cut back based on the fact that women and particularly women of color, we know from Bureau of Labor Statistics and specifically what occupations those women, that women and particularly women of color tend to work in. And we know what have happened to that occupation in this current, those occupations in this current economy. And so that's just kind of a baseline to start thinking about how COVID has really exacerbated this situation.
Once the pandemic hit and Governor Polis ordered places to temporarily close, women of color were hit the hardest because they were the most vulnerable, says Dr. Valponi.
And again, just really looking at what has happened, we know the governor of Colorado specifically, you know, ordered spas, hair salons, personal care industries had to temporarily shut down. And what we are seeing is that the economy, specifically in Colorado, specifically in Boulder, is still very much vulnerable and working on recovery based. And we can see that the occupations and industries specific that specifically have a large proportion of women. And again, that extends to women of color as well. What we see is that they have been hit hardest in this last year. And so what I like to do is put these ideas in a bigger context. And so I want to stick with the example, particularly of women of color. And what we know is that statistics show that 67% of Black mothers, 41% of Hispanic or Latina mothers, they are the primary income earners for their families. And that compares, I think the statistics show that compares to 37% of white or Caucasian mothers. And so what that means is these, you know, we're talking about issues of inequality in the workplace and how longstanding those issues have been. When the when organizations are set up structurally based on really antiquated ideas that men should be getting paid more because they're the breadwinners. And if a woman is working, it's only to supplement the man's income. You know, these norms and these ideas that are antiquated, you know, maybe the beginning of my mom's generation or my grandma's generation, that was absolutely the norm and the idea of workplaces. And it's just the fact that COVID has really exacerbated the holes in organizations where we are now seeing that those antiquated norms certainly have not moved out of the workplace. There's still a lot of work for us to do to overcome those old antiquated norms. And of course, we have made tons of progress in previous generations and in the last 10, 20 years. But what we see and what COVID has shown is that there's still so many glaring gaps. This really not only has shown to impact women and their job outcomes and overall their career outcomes, but I really hope it's enlightening to think of some of these statistics, particularly with the ideas of what are the lived experiences of women of color, you know, predominantly, you know, those primary income earners for the family. And we see that that's why this exacerbation is happening for women and particularly women of color, is that these policies and procedures and the way organizations are structured, COVID has really highlighted these gaps and these holes that really guide us as researchers, as practitioners, as managers, as leaders, to know exactly where we need to create change.
For Dr. Balponi, the pandemic is providing an opportunity to implement structural changes that could make the labor market more equitable.
So as the pandemic has really instigated this need for economic recovery, it's also given us an opportunity to take those issues, those inequalities for women that have been exacerbated by COVID. And since we're making so many changes to what the workplace looks like anyway, why not take this opportunity to really implement structural changes that make the labor market more equitable across the board? So having diversity and inclusion initiatives and work-life balance policies that actually make sense. And what do employees actually need? Because the truth is, we're not going to have economic recovery without women in the workplace. If you look at statistics across the nation, but also in Colorado, the statistics very much mirror that of the nation, that women are, pre-pandemic, have heavily been represented in the workforce. And so if we're not including them in these changes and in the economic recovery, there's no way that organizations and that recovery overall are going to be able to really overcome. But what we're really, really, really seeing is that Colorado women who are mothers have been hit particularly hard with job loss. And some of that is voluntary, the job loss, but I would argue that it's really not voluntary when society and our organizations are structured in this way that essentially there is no choice but to leave your job in order to shoulder the burdens of what's expected of us as women overall in society. And so speaking more to the idea of women who are mothers in Colorado, what we see is, and again, this is coming from the Common Sense Institute, is that one in every 10 mothers that were a part of the workforce at the beginning of 2020, those numbers are no longer the case looking at the end of 2020. And so this mirrors an overall kind of withdrawal and significant lowering of the percentage of women that are in the workforce.
According to Dr. Balponi, women have had to make big sacrifices during the pandemic, and not just because the burden of childcare falls more commonly on women.
A lot of individuals talk about the burden of caregiving, which is absolutely spot on. There were a lot of things that happened over 2020 that basically made it to where women needed to choose between their family and providing remote learning for their children, and daycare for, you know, daycares were closed. And so just childcare in general for their children. But one topic that people tend to forget or tend to not pay much attention to is the idea of elder care. And if we really think about what COVID has been for this last year, we've seen that COVID has hit elderly populations the hardest in terms of hospitalization rates and death rates, things like that. And so not only does this responsibility of childcare fall on women, but elder care as well. And so again, and going back to some of my original points, the idea that policies and procedures and just organizations overall are structured with these antiquated norms of how organizations should be run, you know, we haven't broken out of those cycles yet, of those lasting norms from decades ago. And what we see is that we have policies and procedures now that are not acknowledging what the burdens and expectations and responsibilities are in society at home, in addition to at work, for women. And what COVID has really exacerbated is that caregiving falls on women. And when really pushed, especially when caregiving is not only children, but also elder care and things like that, you know, these pressures are conflicting. And this year we have seen what the outcome of that is. And the fact is, you know, it's this phenomenon called the secession or the secession, to where at the national level, 100% of job loss at the end of 2020 was purely represented by women leaving the workforce. And we saw very similar numbers in Colorado too. And again, to build in some of my other points, we specifically see this highlighted very much in retail industries and things like that. But the Colorado numbers are very much falling into place and mirroring those national trends that have been reported a little bit more, more widely.
Recent legislation in Colorado is addressing some of the historical inequalities. However, this may not be enough, says Dr. Balponi.
And so at this point, we're probably thinking to ourselves, what are the urgent measures that we as a society need to take to fix the problem? You know, is there an opportunity for a better future? And I like to stay optimistic, and I truly believe that you know, there is a better future and that this truly is an opportunity to fix inequalities that women face and barriers that women face and have been facing for decades in the workforce. And so if we look at things like the wage gap, we've been making slow or steady progress in some of these major areas of inequality. So, you know, the wage gap, representation of women leaders, you know, at the top rungs of organizations. And what that means is that this is an opportunity now that COVID has really highlighted what these inequalities are, for us to build this better workplace that addresses things like the pay gap, representation of women in leadership positions, and do so in a way that those antiquated norms from decades ago are no longer have these traces and these holding kind of patterns within our workplaces. If we have the opportunity, because COVID has shifted the economy, if we now have this opportunity to change our workplaces to really address this economic recovery, well, a part of those changes, now we have the opportunity to redo the policies, redo the procedures that we're redoing and recreating anyway to reflect how we work during pandemic times and really make a shift so that those lasting effects of antiquated policy are no longer barriers that women are facing. That directly have that relationship to the pay gap that we're seeing, to the representation of women that we see in leadership positions, the lived experience of these working mothers. And if you really want to look at this situation overall, kind of a big picture, something that organizations kind of moving forward really need to address, what I would say is one of the most urgent measures that we as workplaces and society need to take to make sure we don't create new problems, but instead fix kind of the past ones that have been highlighted and amplified by COVID, is that we want to make sure women particularly are able to access childcare. Just a few months ago, we have the Paid Family and Medical Leave Act, the Equal Pay for Equal Work Act, that just a few months ago in Colorado have gone into effect that really address some of the historical inequities. So basically, what we see is that there is work being done that can really, you know, light the way in terms of us knowing there's an opportunity for better future. But then at the same time, organizations, as they're rebuilding the economy, changing their workplaces to reflect the changes that COVID has really put into effect, we also need to make sure that, you know, women are a part of that conversation so we don't create new problems. We really have the opportunity to kind of move forward in a way that redefines and restructures our jobs and our workplaces. And so I think we can come out on the other side in a better place and take advantage of what has happened and, you know, the unfortunate loss and, you know, in terms of life and also in terms of what has happened economically. But we can turn that around to take advantages such that these inequalities that we have been faced with for decades, now that they're on the forefront of conversations in society, let's finally address these topics. A lot of us have been talking about them even before the pandemic, but now that they're at the forefront of conversations and getting a lot of attention, let's make sure that we take advantage of this opportunity and move forward and recreate our workplaces in a way that addresses these inequalities. And I think there is a lot of hope that there are a number of ways that organizations can do that.
Recent legislation in Colorado is addressing some of the historical inequalities. However, this may not be enough, says Dr. Balponi.
I am so encouraged by the legislative changes and progress that we have made over the last year. And I think what we've seen in terms of recent legislative changes should also be mirrored in workplaces as well. What we see is that the legislature has really made progress in that area, and so organizations can as well.
For KGNU, I am Rosanna Longo.